closer.
Bob Odenkirk was eating two lobsters a night. He was fit as fuck because what was that movie that just came out?
Nobody.
Yeah, where he was ripped and everything. I want to see that still. I haven't. If it streams for free anytime soon, let me know so I can watch it.
Yeah, it should be coming up soon. The next couple weeks.
It's had its theatrical run and now it's been on pay-per-view for a while. So it should be coming up somewhere for free.
I saw a trailer for a new Hugh Jackman movie that looks really fucking good. I like him, so I'll probably see it. But you guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
Reminiscence.
What's it about?
It's like I think you go in some virtual reality thing and he sees his ex-wife or some shit. I don't really know.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. I saw it. It looks pretty good. Yeah.
I like him. I like him just about anything, even that ridiculous time travel movie we were talking about a couple weeks ago.
Kate and Leopold.
I enjoyed that movie. I don't remember what happened in it. I think they got together. I don't know.
2001.
Yeah, boy, that was a long time ago.
Sounds about like that movie where Sandra Bullock kept finding Q in her mailbox.
Q? Anon? Was it a mailbox?
I don't know what the name of that movie was. Was it the boathouse or some
the
crap?
The lake house.
Yes.
The lake house.
Yeah.
Hello, Sandra Bullock. TikTok, I'll be president again in August. You'll see what's going on. By the way, I am doing my best to not lose my fucking mind. So we all went out and got your experimental mRNA juice stuck in our arms, and now we got to mask up again. Thanks. And I'm all I'm going to say about it. I'm going to shut up now. But I knew it was going to happen. We have to mask up at work again. You know, everybody's going, oh, you know, you're going to wear it. Oh, fuck that. I'm tired of it. Tired of it.
Everybody's tired of it. Come on.
It's not a fucking Iron Maiden, Tim. It's not a medieval torture device. It's a piece of fucking fabric. You wear it on your face.
No, it's a fucking piece of cloth. I'm not buying a goddamn. I'm not paying for a cloth mask with some stupid logo on it or a slogan like Reporters Matter or anything.
Available
like
now at home.
Yeah, we do have one, by the way. If you know, because the Epsilon variant is right around the corner.
I thought the beta's next.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the beta's going to be the one that comes after that. It's worse than the Delta.
It's Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon.
Lambda?
Well, no, I learned them all when I was in a fraternity, but right.
I wonder why the Delta would be out before the Beta, because the Beta's like over, it's just in one area right now, but it'll spread as they all do.
Because it's the Indian variant, but you're not allowed to call it that.
Only vegans get it.
Put a pickle in your butt and recite the entire Greek alphabet, Tim.
I didn't have to do that. The Redbox troll is wearing his mask because we're indoors. You can't see it if you're listening, but there he is wearing his mask, so he can't tell
jokes,
us. Anything.
Jokes aside, Tim, jokes aside, though, I thought about you guys the other day. I wondered how anxious it would make you, though, to have a brand new baby
in
the midst of this.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we're going to start sending him to daycare in September. So
terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe they'll have little baby masks.
I mean,
maybe we can wear a crocheted one like Alyssa Milano wore.
Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. If I had a baby right now, they'd be living in one of them Quiet Place 2 boxes. I just put a fucking oxygen mask on them, keep them in the box, and just carry them in the box for like the next 3 years.
Get one of those John Travolta bubbles for the bubble boy. Put him in there. Yeah, I'm a bubble boy.
Oh, you better believe if they start saying dogs are dying of the shit, all mine are going to be in boxes with oxygen masks on their face.
Oh, I saw some fucking story the other day that a big cat, like a leopard or something, tested positive for it at the San Diego Zoo. Like, what? Who's fucking getting close to that? It's ridiculous.
I mean, there's just been randomly, like, there'll be a cat that has it. There'll be a dog that has it here and there, but come on.
Pineapple that got it. I saw that. The pineapple tested positive for it. Yeah. Anyway, this is bullshit. Fucking sucks, but we got to do what we got to do to end this. It's on us. Let's do our job. I mean, I do my part. I wear my mask, but doesn't mean I don't have to. I can't complain about it. I can complain about anything. My feet hurt. So I hate these shoes.
Maybe you're not as smart as you said you was.
What's that from?
It's Joe Biden.
Oh. Did he say that?
He was saying if you're not getting vaxxed, you're not as smart as you thought you were.
Anyway, onward and upward. Hopefully this doesn't extend to Dragon Con. Could you imagine walking around Dragon Con with 85,000 people and you know, it's 95 degrees and you're already hot and then having to wear a mask? Ooh, that sounds like fun.
You know, I don't think that's the biggest threat. I think your bigger threat is not getting shot while you're there or getting stabbed.
Yeah, well, we're not going to a pool.
It doesn't matter. The lady got stabbed and her dog got stabbed to death last night in Piedmont Park.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like I saw a dude. He did a video the other day and he was doing one of those pros and cons of moving to the ATL.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, I used to come here a lot when I was a kid. And so last year I thought, well, I'll move here. Because he's like, the crime isn't bad. The crime's bad now. It's real bad.
Really bad. I thought they closed the pools down because of the Delta variant. And turn out, and they're not saying why, but it's because of gangs.
Yeah, there was a shooting the other day. It was a 17-year-old got killed.
Yeah.
At the pool.
It's and the then, Deltas.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'd be more worried about, you know, dressed up like you're in, you know, whatever. Loki, you're like Loki, and then you get stabbed in the throat when you're going into the front of the hotel.
That's the thing, though. They wouldn't know. Everybody would just applaud.
Yeah,
that's a great costume.
Yeah. I hope they don't cancel it. I hope things can go on. You know, and I'm going to fish tonight because if you're you know, it's Saturday. If you're watching this right away or listening right away, I'm going to fish tonight, and it's really hard for me because the last concert I went to that was a real concert was a Sturgill Simpson. And the whole time, because I ate too much gummy, I was freaking out thinking everything floating in the air was COVID. And here I am going in the midst of the Delta variant, but I think it'll be all right. Cause I am going to wear my balaclava the balaclava, the thing you pull over your face. I figure that's just as good as a piece of paper.
Is it indoors?
No, I'll be in the lawn, which is outdoors,
unvaccinated people.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to think that most people going to a fish show are probably people who've been vaccinated, don't you think? And plus, fish put out a thing: hey, we want to keep the tour going, so please wear your mask. So I'm going to do that. You know,
isn't it going to be like 95 degrees Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be hot as balls. Yeah, so we'll see.
Oh, get well soon, Bob Odenkirk.
Yes, definitely, and. Thank you to Brian Cranston for giving everybody an update on Twitter. I don't know why he's the spokesperson for Bob Odenkirk, but I hope he does get better. You said he's stabilized. That's the latest news, because you're getting this is 3 days after the news came out, so hopefully he's fine and then we're not releasing this and he's like, you know.
Well, yeah, as of today, 15 minutes ago or so, Variety reported that he had a heart related incident and that he's stable, and his son said that he's going to be okay.
Good. That's great.
David Cross said he was going to be okay too, but he didn't say what had happened.
Well, good. And not even just because of Better Call Saul. He's a very talented man, and he's very funny, and he's a good actor, and I'm sure he's a decent person. So, you know, get well, man.
He's such a decent person, and he's really great for animal rescue. He has two rescues, and he's done a lot of stuff for the Best Friends Animal Society, which is the walk that we do every year that so many radios have sponsored me for, the Strut Your Mutt. So, yeah, Bob's huge into all that kind of stuff.
Excellent. Hey, you're getting this on Saturday, a couple days after our Radio Labyrinth presents. But Jeff and Steph did an interview that dropped on the previous Wednesday. Jordan R. Coleman, better known as Fatback, and I can't remember the name of his character on Physical. Vince, yeah, he's funny as shit as Vince. Just really understated performance, very entertaining, a very surfer dude type of guy, not a hardcore thug like he plays in Snowfall, but what a nice guy, and great job on the interview, you guys.
Thanks. He really loved it, by the way.
Yeah, he was another guy that looked like he was having a really good time with the interview. So
he said thanks a lot, and it was a great experience, and he really enjoyed himself.
Jeff and I spoke with Maka Pohatu from Wellington Paranormal, and that'll be coming out when?
Maybe 2 weeks.
You know, we had this great conversation with Maka. I was nervous, and I don't know why. I shouldn't have been, because I've been doing this a long time. But for some reason, I got nervous. But we still had a good interview, and then I stopped recording when the interview was done, and we did about 20 more minutes that I wish we had recorded. So he will come on with us again in the future. So
the highlight of the stuff we didn't record was his quick story about how cops in New Zealand are like befriending him.
Mm-hmm.
him and Minogue were at a concert, and they were stuck in traffic and they couldn't get out, but they needed to go the other direction.
Yeah,
but the cops were making everybody go one direction, so like him and Minogue like leaned out the window and the cop saw him. He was like, hey. they were like, can you help us get the hell out of here? And the guy's like, oh hell yeah. And he like let him turn around and make a U-turn.
That's great. We do talk a lot about New Zealand. We talk a lot about you know, all the great comedy that's coming out of there, and all the funny shit that they do. And by the way, you know, as of today, we found out that Wellington Paranormal is the number one streaming show in the country. Isn't that amazing?
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And it's a show that we love. Jeff's seen every episode because he has a subscription to New Zealand's television.
I flew to New Zealand and watched them all.
Yeah, that's what he did. He flew there, all the way there, all 78 hours it takes to fly there. But so other than that, done bitching. I'm not going to bitch about it. I'm just going to do what we need to do. One place I think they should have had masks was at Woodstock 99. Have we all watched that documentary?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
I forgot how crazy it was, honestly.
I'd forgotten there was a Woodstock 94. Now, that's something... comparing the lineup of Woodstock 94 to the lineup of Woodstock 99, I think I would have enjoyed Woodstock 94, and I don't know why I didn't go. Jeff, did you go to that, or were you out?
No, I didn't even know about it.
I didn't remember it.
Yeah,
until the documentary, and I was like, oh yeah, they did have another one, because the musical lineup on it was amazing. I mean, it was actually bands that weren't, you know, testosterone fueled child rage. Yeah,
the only band I would have wanted to see at Woodstock 99 is Guster.
Really? There were Elvis Costello. I mean,
yeah, there were some other good bands, but like the bands that I still like now, Guster.
Here's 94. So you had Blues Traveler, James, King's X, Sheryl Crow, Collective Soul, Candlebox, Violent Femmes, Delamitri, Jackal. You know, I like Jesse James Dupree. Back then, I probably wouldn't have gone, but I like him now. Then you had Joe Cocker, Blind Melon again, Cypress Hill, Rollins Band. I mean, this lineup was awesome. Metallica, Aerosmith, Nine Inch Nails, The Cranberries, Primus, The Band, mm-hmm. featuring Hot Tuna, Bruce Hornsby, Roger McGuinn, Rob Wasserman, and Bob Weir. What an awesome lineup that was. Salt and Peppa were there. That would have been great too. A lot of fun. And then of course on again, we're talking about Woodstock 94. On Sunday, you had Country Joe McDonald, who is the mainstay of the original Woodstock, Peter Gabriel, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Bob Dylan, Porno for Pyros, which, you know,
Perry Farrell,
Spin Doctors, Traffic, the Allman Brothers. You had John Sebastian, God, a lot of people. And then he also had Gil Scott-Heron, who would read you the revolution will not be televised.
Well, they tried to mix a lot more of the original lineup, or some of the lineup from the original Woodstock, whereas 99, mm-hmm. you know, they've put all their cards in one, or all their eggs in one basket with, I think, trying to push the youth side of it. And it, you know, obviously it just turned into.
Yeah. And that. 99, I'll just read. There's a ton of artists.
It did have an EDM tent for some reason.
Yeah, at 94 or 99?
99.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember Moby was talking about it. It's like,
yeah. He got mad and left.
Yeah.
Now, I would have liked to have seen DMX, because DMX was the shit in the late 90s. He was awesome. He was one of the best rappers out there. But I mean, Korn, Insane Clown Posse, not really my cup of tea. Korn, I know a lot of people like, but not really my cup of tea. And on the stage that Jeff's talking about with Guster, you had Guster, Bruce Hornsby, then Everclear, Ice Cube, Los Lobos, Mickey Hart, Planet Drum. So there were, you know, bands that fit that Woodstock mode, but there are also just bands I don't think really belong there. Limp Bizkit, who were huge at the time, but you know, you have them on stage and they're bringing all the douchebag fans that like Limp Bizkit. Did you like them? I didn't like them.
No, I never got into them.
No. I did like Korn. I saw Korn at Lollapalooza in 97. They put on a pretty good show, but
yeah,
it was still to this day, and I've been to Pantera. The most violent show I've ever been to was
really?
That was their set at Lollapalooza 97. I mean, there was just bodies flying everywhere. There were paramedics everywhere. It was just blood. Shit was getting set on fire. It was crazy.
Now you take a look at Woodstock 99, and I was 29 years old, maybe 28 years old when it happened because my birthday is November. Jeff was obviously 29, almost. You would have been 30 that September, so you're still 29. In our 20s, living in Atlanta, so obviously I wouldn't have made that trek. And back then, I don't know why we didn't go or why we didn't even think about going. Because Jeff and I went to Woodstock in 1989 in the summer just to see it. And it was 20 years after. And, you know, we went together and we actually in the town of Woodstock and, you know, went to all the tourist traps and stuff. But it was cool. I just don't know that I would have gone to this back then, even had I lived up there. But the documentary was weird. It was sort of like made me nostalgic for the era. Cause when I see things, I get nostalgic for the music and for the era and for, you know, the way people are, but I didn't know people like that. Now I got to wonder how young these people were, 18 to 25. Maybe that was the biggest demographic, but it looks so freaking violent.
I just don't angry. Think. I just don't think it would have. I don't think it would have devolved into what it did, had they not been such greedy fucks.
Yeah.
And started giving people water, for one thing. If they would have started giving water, started actually pushing water, because it was clear these people were thirsty. They were drinking damn beer the whole time. They were stupid, and the fact that there was shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And to me, literally I think. Shit. Yeah, I think like people who had sense and were rational, they left.
Yeah.
And what you had left were, you know, the nutbags, and it just kind of spiraled from there. So I do feel like the promoters bore the brunt of why it turned to what it turned to.
I got to agree with you. I have to agree with you. Now, there's a lot of stuff that people were saying in the documentary. Oh, the white male testosterone and blah, blah, blah. You know, it definitely was a different time, even though it was only, 22 years ago. But everything in the 90s was all about angst and, you know, girls gone wild. I agree with that. And they pushed all that shit. But then again, you had women walking around with their tits hanging out.
You had that at Woodstock. I mean, well, and like they said, too, I mean, they tried to act like Woodstock was some hippy dippy love fest. There was a lot of people that got raped and died at Woodstock, and they just never talked about it.
Right. It's not in that documentary. Yeah. But what do you expect when you have, you know, 100,000 people who are fucked up on drugs and hot heat and there's no water and they're drinking, and then you add the sexuality to it? It's just a recipe for disaster.
I will say this at the end, and this is just my opinion. Whenever they were talking about, you know, the police came and just escorted them out, didn't make a big deal out of it. And they said, you know, if we were black, there's no way they would have did that. And my first thought was, there's no way black people would have been doing this shit.
No, they wouldn't have destroyed. You're absolutely right.
They wouldn't have been just rolling in their own shit for days.
Right.
With nothing to drink.
Beating on each other and raping everybody and setting fire to everything and, you know, throwing shit at people on stage.
Wait, did you see them doing that at a Frankie Beverly and Maze concert?
No. But you are right. But the guy, I agreed with the person who said, had it been a rap show like that and people started throwing shit and setting fires, the cops would have gone in there with batons and tasers and beating the shit out of people. You know,
most likely. Yeah. I mean, but
upstate New York and an Air Force base and, you know, everybody was lily white.
I think that was the whole thing, is they did market it towards all these frat boys who come from privilege, most of them, a lot of them. And I don't think that they thought those guys would do some shit like this. That's what I think. I don't think they
I knew people like that. I went there, I was in a fraternity, you know.
Yeah. And so I knew- they just underestimated it. And it was a good point that Columbine had just happened. This was like if Columbine was a concert.
Yeah. We can talk to somebody who was at the festival. He's ready to go if you want to bring him in.
Here he comes.
All right. Yeah, this is my brother, Jason. Jason Andrews, welcome to the show. You've never been on the podcast, have you?
Never. Always wanted to come see a recording in person. I guess I'm a part of the show now.
Hey, yeah. Jason. Nice to see you, man.
Likewise, Steph. Jeff, what's up, my man?
Nice. How you doing, dude?
I'm good.
So did you watch the documentary?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I watched the trailer this afternoon.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's just a hit piece. But I guess since the whole thing was a shit show anyway, I'm not surprised.
Tell us about it.
How did you end up going?
Yeah. And how long it took you to get there and what did you do on? Yeah. Tell us about it. How'd you get to, I can't believe they let you go, but I guess you were an adult, so you could do what you wanted, but.
Yeah. I mean, I paid my own way, you know, I worked. So, and a bunch of us that worked at Wegmans, we all went to the festival because there wasn't much to do up that way, you know, but we would go to concerts here and there. And the lineup had enough bands in it that, you know, all of us as a group wanted to go see. So
who did you want to see? Who was like the big draws for you?
And I'm glad you asked, because I looked the lineup up. My memory's terrible these days, but initially Aerosmith was supposed to play and then they backed out very early. So they were a draw right away for me. After they bailed, it was Metallica, obviously, Our Lady Peace. I wasn't really much of a Rage Against the Machine fan, but I was interested to see what kind of show they put on. So
I remember I asked you if you were going to see Elvis Costello, and you went, LOL, no.
Yeah, exactly. There were a lot of those, but that's what I mean. There was enough. I mean, I out of everybody that went, I was probably the only one who wanted to see DMX.
Yeah.
You know, I was a DMX head at the time, and a bunch of us wanted to see Korn. A few wanted to see Bush, but I wasn't a Bush fan, so they were there, so whatever. I had seen Dave Matthews a couple years prior to that, and I thought they were pretty good live act, so they were a draw. And then what's funny, and it, you know, people always ask or reminisce about how bands, you know, go from nothing to something. In 1998, I saw Limp Bizkit at a crappy bar outside of Buffalo,
really,
in Lackawanna, called the Fun House. And they were the headliner, and this will tell you in a weird twist, one of their openers was Incubus.
Oh my god, which is like so much of a superior band in every way.
Exactly. Now, in the grand scheme of music, Incubus is considered probably a way better band than Limp Bizkit, but 1998 they were an opener. But you know, fast forward, that was the end of June, and then 13 months later Limp Bizkit was, you know, playing in front of a gazillion folks. It was,
I blame MTV for their ascendancy, because who the fuck ever really unironically enjoyed listening to that crap?
I'll give them, their first album was pretty decent, but then they really got, you know, it's the lame cop out, they sold out or whatever, but their second album just was not the same, and they tried to put like Method Man on it, and then they got into the TRL stuff, they covered Faith, the George Michael song, but that was on their first album, and that's probably to me their biggest hit.
Yeah,
but
at that time they were Durst also got a job as a scout for the record label, so he was actually had the ability to sign bands, and so that was the huge draw. They thought he was going to be the next, basically the white Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, didn't he discover Sting?
Yeah, what? Yeah. They were all friends. I mean, at the time, I was in a band as well, and we toured during those years, and a lot in Florida, where you know they're from. And that was a group that was real tight knit of bands that he practically just brought up from clubs and put them into stadiums in a matter of a year. So wow. Yeah, he did that to a lot of people's careers. And for some, it worked. For some, it never should have been, you know.
All I ever, when I think of Limp Bizkit, all I think of is, I know why you want to hate me. That's all I ever hear in my head.
I think of Nookie. I did it all for the Nookie.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like their big hit off the second album, but I'd put their cover of Faith up against that any day of the week. And Faith to me would win every time. So
were you there all 3 days?
Yeah. We left late Thursday night. So we missed a lot of the, I think George Clinton may have played Thursday night. Like, and so we heard some of it, but you know, the parking was far away from where you had to go. So you had to park and then, you know, walk to the campsite. And then we did stay for, you know, all 3 days. We left maybe while it was still some daylight left on Sunday. Cause so I did not
all the fires.
Only
When you started the fires, did you use your, like the rub some sticks together or did you have a lighter or what? How'd you do it?
Well, we had a Wegmans lighter. We brought a bunch of.
No, I did see people starting to break the wall apart. They had they had commissioned people to build this wall and it went like around the whole perimeter. And I saw a lot of trees with like teepee on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember specifically seeing huge bonfires because we were all wiped out. We took the third day and kind of stayed at the, I forget what stage it was. There was East Stage and West Stage, but the West Stage had more of the mellower acts. Like Elvis Costello, I think, played there on one of the days. But the day, that Sunday, we stayed there, and it was like Rusted Root, and I think Our Lady Peace played there. And who was that? Maybe was Ice Cube there? I don't know. As I say, mellower acts. But they had like, they kind of put all the headliners on the one stage and then the smaller bands on the other stage. And then they had like an aspiring or emerging artist stage, which I didn't even see. So,
so did your group, did you guys, how many girls did you guys rape every day? I mean, I heard that was like a
zero. And I heard about that after the fact, but I never saw any of it going on. And I wasn't, I don't do like super mosh pit stuff. So I didn't get way down in the front. And in a weird twist, the Friday, and this is pre cell phones, kids. So we all get out of the tent, we go to the stage, and I don't know what happened. I got distracted by something, maybe some titties, I don't know. When I lost my group.
Oh, man.
So I spent most of that day just solo because I tried to find them, but again, no phones, can't text, you know, couldn't page anybody over the loudspeaker. So it kind of sucked, but I just made friends with whoever. That might have been the day I met Melrose Larry Green. I can't remember which day that was.
Melrose Larry Green is who used to be on Stern a lot. He's a guy that would stand out of shows and stuff with sign that said what?
I think it was Stern 316, but I don't remember what his sign said here. And I was going to look at the picture because I think you still have the physical copy.
Yeah, I tried to find it. It's in a box someplace.
Yeah, and then you sent, and it's, I think it's on my Instagram too. I forgot to look, but
yeah.
That was the day I met him because I saw him walking around, and then of course no cell phones, so I had to take the old disposable camera.
Yeah,
and make sure you got every good picture. And
Saw a lot of nudity, men and women, boobs and dicks and stuff? Because you see that in the documentary quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing a lot of nudity. Some, yes, but to me, again, I wasn't way down in the front. I stayed in the back.
Where did you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that was my next question. Not just wherever.
Yeah, there was some porta potties, but I think a lot of them were fucking shitty, literally. Yeah. You know, so, but there was, it was just, you had to wait forever in line. So I think it was so damn hot that you were just sweating all the piss out of your body anyway. So I don't really remember having to wait in unbearably long lines.
Did you afford the $4 waters?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't revolt against it. What I tried to do was, after buying a couple and going, well, this is ridiculous, I just was going to try to reuse them. But again, the water machines were fucked up. So
yeah,
we had brought a lot of our own stuff anyway. So it was just, you know, you go back at the end of the day and just rehydrate. And we didn't sneak in any beer or anything, which was probably a mistake. But there was nobody that was over 21, I think, that went with us. So because we were all, either the oldest somebody might have been was 20.
What kind of drugs did you see? Because they didn't talk about drugs. But I would think in the 90s, it would have been weed, maybe coke.
I didn't see
acid.
you know, I didn't see anything personally, and the people that we rolled with that went with to their, nobody did drugs. So I could smell weed though outside our tent, at least every night. So definitely in the campgrounds, you could, I didn't personally see anything.
But overall, you had a good time. You didn't experience all the negative things like they talked about in the documentary. I mean, there's one guy in the documentary, and I don't remember his name, but he's one of the promoters who pretty much says, you know, well, okay, you can talk about all these horrible things that happened, but it still was a good event.
I think it was in a shitty spot. I'd wished it had been like in 94. It was just in some guy's back, you know, huge field in the backyard, but in retrospect, having it at a large Air Force base with like 2 miles between each stage and tarmacs, and it was just...
Was it on the... Were you on the pavement, the asphalt?
You had to walk on it for some stuff. I remember, because I can't remember where they had stages, but I definitely remember walking on the part of the tarmac. Because the one, emerging artist stage was in an old hangar.
Yeah.
Like a decommissioned hangar. So you had to walk through some of the tarmac, I think, to get there. And then they had, again, no phones. They had like a tent or something that was air conditioned so you could use the internet, because this was the boom of like instant messenger, AOL. So they had things that you could like email whoever. I may have even shot Tim an email. I don't remember, but
I think you did.
I just, you know, it was like, hey, I'm here. It's hot. And, you know, I don't even know how they use. I don't know if they use dial-up for access or what, but it was, you know, overall I had fun, just to say I was there, you know, but it was unbearably hot. And yeah, $4 for water. I mean, what'd they expect? And I think a personal pan pizza was like 12 or 13 bucks.
Oh my God, Jesus. So,
I mean, that's...
Free frozen pizzas on the last day if you stayed around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what they started half the fires with, but...
Yeah.
And we didn't, and I know in some of the I did see a clip of this documentary, I guess people were in the troughs that they had for, you know, cool down troughs, people were bathing in them. Mm-hmm. I don't remember specifically seeing any of that, but we didn't, I don't think we took a shower at all. What we did when we left was the first little New York State Thruway plaza, we went in there, and we weren't the only ones, because like every sink was just a fucking grown ass man or a teenager, you know, trying to take somewhat of a shower.
Oh, disgusting.
Just to wash off 3 days of whatever the fuck that just happened was. So,
would you go now? Would you do something like that today?
At 41, it would, I don't know.
No.
It would have to be, I'd have to like a handful of bands every single day. If it was like one band for 3 days and they didn't sell single day passes, I'd probably pass.
Yeah.
And I'm to the point now where I don't like doing a lot of stuff with crowds. Mm-mm. So
yeah, we're just saying before you came on, I'm going to fish, and I'm a little nervous about it, but not, I don't know. But the last concert I went to was with you. And I was at the one where I had such a fun time for the first act, staring at the floor.
Yeah, that was a good show. And that was, Sturgill then later said that like a week later he was in the hospital. So he probably had COVID and played in front of everybody.
Yep.
So yeah, I wouldn't do a festival, like I said now, unless it was, I'd have to like a good chunk of the bands every day.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like you and the fish thing that never came to be at Watkins Glen. If it was one band I really liked doing a 3 day thing, maybe, but.
Yeah. And they shut that down because of the water.
Yeah.
Because the Watkins Glen had been flooded, and I'd gone up there and we got all set up. And then as Larry was taking a shower, my friend Larry was taking a shower, they canceled the damn thing. Yeah. So that kind of sucks. I was sitting there all bummed out. He walks back in his towel, you know, he's dressed. He's like, "What's up?" I go, "Oh, they canceled the show." Oh, bummer.
I remember too when we got there, I think the tickets were like 150, 160 bucks, which, you know, for 3 days, it's cost average is pretty good.
Yeah.
Somebody, whoever was at the front of our group, because there was maybe eight or nine, 10 of us. Mm-hmm. Somebody took all the tickets, and there was like an old guy taking the tickets, and the person just said, "Oh, these are for everybody, you know, these next however many people. So he's mm-hmm. counting. I'm at the end and I walk up and he kind of stops me and he goes, "Hey," he's, "where's your ticket?" I go, "Oh, it's in there." He's like, "Oh, you're with them? Okay, go ahead." He's like, "I lost my, lost my place." He's like, "I would have let you in without a ticket anyway." I'm like, "Gee, thanks, asshole." Oh,
save me $180.
Yeah. And then I guess they had a problem with like fake wristbands too. I don't know if they touched on that in the documentary, but I remember reading something about it not all that long ago. I guess they were, people were faking the wristbands. And
I didn't see that in the documentary. No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, because it's on the grand scheme of the shit show, it's probably low.
They kind of mentioned that since the water was the same price as beer, that like people were just drinking beer and they weren't really checking IDs. It seems like
we didn't even try. Like I said, I don't know why we didn't. I guess it would have been worth a shot because who knows who they had work in those beer areas. They were right. Like, remember, they were like siphoned off because we walked through some when we left because they stopped serving. But, you know, I believe it. If they say it happened, I believe it.
Well, you have to watch the documentary and let us know what you think after you watch it. It's on HBO and HBO Max.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to try to watch it pretty soon. I guess it's I saw Bill Simmons' name on it. Is he a producer?
Bill Simmons. Yeah. Was he the what does he do?
He used to work for ESPN. He had a pretty good podcast there, you know, before everybody started having a podcast.
Hey.
no, I mean, in the, you know, he had a podcast like 10 years ago, at least.
Oh, man. Oh, really?
And then he kind of, I don't know if they were trying to censor him some, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't want anything to do with that." He was one of the early people that jumped ship from ESPN, and now he kind of has his own brand. It's called The Ringer.
Yeah. And,
like a website. He has his own podcast now.
That's one of my staff picks. One of my staff picks this week is a podcast that's on The Ringer.
Yeah.
By the way, I just posted the picture of you.
Yeah, I can see it behind you.
Because your face is cut off, but I'll send the picture.
Can put it up. What sign he had, but he's right there.
Who's that?
That's Abby. Sorry.
Hi, Abby.
He wants to make a special guest appearance.
Hi, Abby.
He's Abby.
But yeah, Bill Simmons, The Ringer is actually a pretty good network of stuff. That he has a lot of podcasts on there. He has a pro wrestling one. He did the Andre the Giant, or that same company did the Andre the Giant documentary that came out like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was also a good one. Cool.
Yeah, that was so great. I'm excited. When I saw his name on there, I was excited to check it out. So I'm definitely, it's on the list for sure.
Look at the face Abby's making. Oh, you make it okay, daddy. Jason, thanks for coming on and sharing your memories of Woodstock 99, man.
Sure. Sorry, I was more of an asshole then. And
I wish you had been abusive to people and started fires and had some sexy. No, it's great because, you know, not that's not all that happens. So,
yeah. And I mean, like I said, I'd say if you asked everybody else who went with us, they would say they had a good time. I mean, other than it being stupid hot, but I think, you know, everybody would say now that they had fun.
Yeah. All right, Jason. Bye, Abby.
Thanks, man. We're glad you survived Woodstock 99.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, guys. Take it easy.
Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Did I say that right, Conyers, Georgia?
Yeah. Oh, it's Conyers.
Yeah, it's Conyers. Oh, that's Dustin. That's what you call home. That's where you call home. And home is where you hang your pizza. You see, I'm a little bit tired, but, you know, that pizza will revive me. I plan on going out there very, very shortly. And you should go out there if you live in the Atlanta area. And even if you don't, if you live in like Alaska, you should order one. Maybe I'll ship it to you. It is our favorite family-owned and operated restaurant. And they have so many fans in the metro Atlanta area and all around the globe. People come all the way from Pennsylvania to eat there. Their gyros. Gyros, generously tough pizzas, Greek salads, subs, Greek and Italian dishes are the best anywhere around. Just ask their loyal customers the next time you visit. By the way, they have free Wi-Fi if you want to check your AMC stock while you're in there. Dine-in and takeout available. Hours are Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9. Closed on Sundays. You can visit them online, atlantapizzaeuro.com, and find them on Facebook where you can get specials and updated information about events and things that are going on out there. Mike Hall is a class act dude. We love him, and we've done a couple live shows out there. We did our last appearance out there, our end of the COVID, hopefully, get together. And we look forward to sometime in the fall, late summer, early fall, doing a full live recorded show out there, maybe around Dragon Con time if we can work it out. So
I wanted to bring out his new fancy food truck.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go out into a field.
His food truck is going to be on the road soon and hopefully somewhere near us.
Yeah, maybe we could do it in my backyard.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it in my house. I didn't say that out loud, did I? No. So, guys, check it out. Atlanta Pizza and Euro.
And we're back!
You know who we didn't hear from? I know that Shelby Foote was also at Woodstock 99. I would love to hear his experience.
It was a great time back in the summer of 1999 up there in upstate New York, a little town called Rome, where they one time had a Air Force base. And that Air Force base as well, they trained NATO pilots how to bomb East Germans and Russians. And in fact, a little old town in northern Pennsylvania where Tim and Jeff are from, that they would do strafing runs, and sometimes jets would fly right over people's houses and scare the shit out of them, and that tickled me. I went there to see Ice Cube. Ice Cube was one of my favorite artists. I also like Limp Bizkit and Insane Clown Posse. What up, ninjas? I was a ninja from way back. In fact, it reminds me back in the Civil War days. William Tecumseh Sherman used to dress up like a clown and throw Faygo. Now, the Faygo was it wasn't a glass bottle at the time because they had yet to develop that technology for soda.
So you were a juggalo, or Sherman was a juggalo?
I was one of the original, William Tecumseh Sherman was one of the original juggalos, yes. And he and Grant, they would have three-day parties and things like that, and a lot of bitches would be there. And
were they from Detroit?
Well, I do believe that Sherman was from Ohio, but they were not from Michigan. But, that didn't stop them from having a good time. And, of course, they was passing the Faygo. And I remember that one time when Sherman got to Atlanta, they started a fire, much like they did at Woodstock 99. He started a fire, and that had nothing to do with burning down the cotton factories. It was just to celebrate the fact that the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing Fire, by originally recorded by Jimi Hendrix, and that tickled me as well. One of the things that I really enjoyed seeing at Woodstock 99, of course, was Megadeth. The song "Peace Sells, Who's Buying" was more or less a tribute to General Joe Johnston, who primarily lost a lot of campaigns there toward the end of the war for the Confederacy. It was just a sad affair. And I know General Robert E. Lee especially liked Kid Rock. Kid Rock was a fantastic performer, also from Michigan. A lot of the best musical acts of the 90s came from Michigan, I do believe. And Kid Rock was one of the better ones. He had his little dwarf friend or whatever his name was. What was his name? Joe C. He's a little fella. He was a hell of a rapper. He bridged the gap between rap and rock and roll. And I believe that Kid Rock would have probably made for a good senator from the state of Michigan if he had decided to run. But he had a lot of great songs. That one that he did, and then the other one, Cowboy, that was a good one. My favorite part was during the Red Hot Chili Peppers, of course. There was a lot of ladies that was crowd surfing, and one of the ladies looked like Mary Todd Lincoln, so no guys would touch her. But then, because Mary Todd Lincoln was not an attractive woman by any means, maybe
she showed her boobs.
Well, Mary Todd Lincoln didn't show her boobs, at Woodstock 1863, well, great 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 granddaughter showed hers at Woodstock 99, and one was kind of askew, and the other one had a double nipple on it, and it was kind of strange, but it was a fun time for all. And it was sad that a lot of people took it upon themselves to get drunk and try to burn down everything, but overall they ended up having a good time. And I liked everybody except Jewel.
Did you get any poop on you?
Well, I would have had that on me regardless, because it helps keep mosquitoes away. Thank you, Shelby Foote, for that rambling.
Thank you, Shelby Foote. He should have narrated this documentary for them.
really with shook. That music that Dustin was playing underneath that Civil War. My dearest Leanne, I was trapped for 3 days at Woodstock 99, where I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Flea's massive cock flapping in the wind while he slapped his face. That was a weird thing to see.
Like this, Flea, he does have a big one. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, but you don't see like, you're not going to see a guy like me walking around, you know, with my little flea pecker, you know, at any festival or anywhere naked. But a guy like
you
usually, that.
You put one of Gil's socks on over your junk.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, all right. The uplift mofo party plan. Pain, pain. But no, I mean, you got a big ding dong like that. Feel free to slap your bass on stage with it.
Yeah, Flea is definitely a shower.
Yeah. Well, he might even be a grower.
If he's a grower, good God.
Yeah. He can lean
good
over.
Good Lord.
Just balance himself. Anyway. All right. Woodstock 99 wrapping that shit up. All right, guys. Let's thank another one of our amazing, amazing, awesome Radio Labyrinth sponsors. Hey, if you're looking for the perfect item to enhance your celebration, graduation, Father's Day is coming up or just went by. There's other holidays coming up or just went by. Check out Cardstock Creation Company. That is run by Lindsay Thomas. You can find her Etsy page at etsy.com/shop/cardstockcreationco. I'm sure if you just put in Cardstock Creation CO, you'll find it. We'll also put a link in the show notes, both on YouTube and in the RSS feed. Listen, if you need an advent calendar, a cake topper, doggy clothes, I mean, they got everything, jewelry, koozies, milestone banners, birthday banners, confettis, cupcake toppers, and more. Again, Cardstock Creation Code. Steph, do you need any doggy clothes?
Always. I always need doggy clothes.
Okay.
And I live on Etsy.
I live on Etsy too. A man cannot live on Etsy alone, though. Sometimes you need eBay too. I don't know what I'm talking about. I need cupcake toppers like you wouldn't believe. So that's why I'm going to check out Cardstock Creation Co. on Etsy. I'll do a couple of news stories before we talk about what we watched and everything. Recapping the Bob Odenkirk. As of recording, he is in stable condition, so that is good news. Hopefully, by the time you're listening to this, he's out of the hospital and recuperating and, you know, resting before he goes back to work. A couple of trailers have dropped. There's another Dexter trailer, which this one actually makes me a little more interested in watching it. Of course, Dexter season 9 is coming out to, erase season 8 from our memories. And the trailer looks interesting. It really does. And then, of course, what is her name? Jennifer Carpenter. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. His sister from the original show. I think she's going to be going to take the place of Harry, his father, as his conscience that helps his dark passenger. I liked all the knives and the touching this and touching that. Also, for some reason, John Lithgow is going to be in this, and we haven't found out. Did we decide whether he had actually died at the end of season 4, or did he escape?
He died. I was wrong.
So he'll be.
I just want him to be alive.
So he'll just be there in his memory. Hello, Kyle. Shut up, cunt.
He'll be Harry and the Hendersons. Like that.
Yeah. Oh no, he'll be the nurse from The World According to Garp.
Yeah.
John Lithgow, a very long career. So Dexter looks good. The Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer, that looks really good to me. And it's teasing the original cast, and it's going to piss all over that horrible, horrible reboot that flopped a couple years ago. So this is good news. Got Reitman in charge of it, A. Reitman anyway. And, Carrie Coons is in it, and it's set in her house or haunted house or whatever. So it's going to be a good movie, I think. How could you go wrong? How could it be any worse than the one that came out a couple of years ago?
I think it looks awesome. And the way they ended the trailer,
mm-hmm.
where she's calling the number and
yeah,
you hear Aykroyd's voice going, "We're closed."
Well, it's great that they got them together to do the film. And of course, Harold.
These are Harold Ramis's kids that are.
Yeah.
Being the Ghostbusters, right? Finn Wolfhard is supposed
to be grandkids.
Those grandkids, okay.
Yeah. An Exorcist reboot. So this is going to be what, taken from the book again and just redoing the original film based on?
No, it's not a reboot. It's a continuation. What they're going to do, it's got the guy from Hamilton. The main Lin.
Oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
He is the father of a daughter who has become possessed.
Okay.
And he is getting in contact with
Ellen Burstyn.
Yeah, she's 88 years old.
Ellen Burstyn.
Yeah, and she's going to be in it. She's the only original person that's going to be in it.
Is this also going to be a historical hip-hop musical?
Yeah, I believe so.
Is anyone going to go ass to ass?
Should be called In the Frights. That's funny, Jeff.
But yeah, it didn't make any sense to me that, you know, if you want to find out why, you know, your daughter is possessed and how, what she's going through and everything else, why wouldn't you go to Linda Blair and not the mother?
Maybe she didn't want to do it.
I think that's, you know, as far as the movie goes, I think so. But in the orchestration of making it and writing it, it would seem like more of a realistic thing to go after her. But
I don't know how
it's trilogy too. So it's three movies they're making out of this right off the bat.
Oh God. Hopefully it'll flop and they don't have a new, it's a franchise thing then. You know, they did a sequel to The Exorcist. It's called Exorcist II: The Heretic. And it was terrible.
Richard Exorcist Burke. 3 though was badass.
3 was the actual sequel to the because he didn't write Exorcist II: Heretic, but he wrote Legion, which is what they took 3 from.
All right. But,
yeah, I don't think he has anything to do with it.
Yeah, 3 was good.
Yeah, 3 was awesome.
No Linda Blair? Terrible.
Yeah.
I like, I don't how know, you
go ahead.
Have you ever seen 3, Tim?
No, I didn't.
Oh, dude. Wow. 3 did it come out? Up.
Oh, it's it came out in 92.
Okay.
Or 91, I'm sorry.
91.
Yeah, it was written and directed by Blightley. So.
And it's got, what's his face? The guy that we love. He plays the possessed dude that's making all the shit happen from the insane asylum. What's the dude's name that we love him?
Grievous Wormtongue from Lord of the Rings.
What?
Doc from Deadwood.
Doc from Deadwood, yes.
Real name, though.
Oh, I can't remember.
We're not good at that, Tim. Ain't you figured that out yet? We got computers in front of us, and we still can't find these people's name.
He's so creepy.
It was Billy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, Billy from One Flew.
Brad Dourif.
Yes.
Yeah, Brad
Dourif.
Brad Dourif. Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, he does an amazing job in that.
George C. Scott, man.
George C. Scott. He plays the cop that was in the original that was following up on the murder of the director being thrown out the window in the first Exorcist, the girl
stunt demon.
So he plays that character and he does it so well. It's actually, it's his movie pretty much. He's the main character, George C. Scott.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Tim. This movie still messes me up. Still messes me up. There's parts in this movie that I still picture that freak me out.
The hallway scene.
The old lady on the ceiling.
Yeah,
I'm gonna find it and I'll watch it by next week.
You'll love it.
Exorcist 3. Cool. So great Exorcist news. We already talked about Wellington Paranormal being the number one streaming show in the United States. So good job, everybody. That is a very funny show. Check it out. Something about New Zealand. It's in the water or whatever, but they're funny and their comedies are great. So there's apparently a big brouhaha about Kevin Smith and his reboot of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Apparently, it's the haters, the fanboys are saying that it was a bait and switch, and that they get you in there to watch He-Man. And Jeff, what's going on?
Well, spoiler alert: if you haven't watched it yet, He-Man dies in the first episode.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really a bait and switch because they don't say that in the trailer. It's all He-Man is back and here's his stupid tiger and here's the guy who wears a helmet that they probably fuck when the cameras are off. What?
Is it a stupid tiger? Cringer.
I hated He-Man. And it's because I was out of the demo. I was out of the demo and I was too old for He-Man. And even if I had been in the demo, it looked a little, I looked at it. I'm like, this is homoerotic. Not that it's, but it's weird for the mid 80s for that or whenever that to happen. But it really was like, look at me and my hair and my chest, and I have the power and I'm a little Dutch boy. All right, we get it, He-Man. So, why did Kevin Smith do that and what is the controversy?
Well, the controversy comes from people who are thinking that they've only given you 5 episodes and this is half of the first season. There's 10 episodes. And they do kill him off. And in doing so, they elevate Teela, to pretty much the main character for the first few episodes. Now, when they did that, everyone assumed that He-Man being killed in the first of the middle of the first episode, they didn't even make it like 10 minutes in. And what he was doing was they were setting up the story for the back half of the season. I mean, yeah, they do kill him off in the first episode, but he's going, I mean, it's Masters of the Universe is the name of the show. It's okay. Not He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. So It's designed to show the entire universe of Eternia. And so he wanted to bring, you know, everybody, all these characters, all this fan service that never made it into the cartoons. I mean, in the first big battle in the first 10 minutes, you see almost every action figure and vehicle and play structure that they ever sold in cartoon form. And it's amazing. I mean, it's fan service. And then immediately, you know, He-Man gets wiped out.
But that doesn't sound like fan service to me, because if you watched He-Man and you were a fan of He-Man, why the fuck would you continue watching it after he's dead? Now, I'm not shitting on it because I didn't like He-Man and I'm never going to watch this, but I'm curious.
Well, because it was written, and just like Kevin talks about when he talks about making series and how series are done now, series for him would be a way to make a 10-hour movie. Yeah. And in order to make a 10-hour movie, you're not... You know, all of He-Man's episodes, if you remember, were always very much the same pattern. You know, He-Man shows up, he kills, you know, knocks Skeletor, sends him back to where he's from, and then they do it all over again the next time.
Right, because the show initially was designed to sell toys.
Yeah, there was no backstory. I mean, there was comics that came with the toys,
right?
And but they never had any of those storylines in the cartoon. It was always just this Hanna-Barbera toy machine. So what he did was he created this big expansive story that's broken up into 10 parts, but the Netflix decided to release half of it up front, and then a few months later, towards the end of the year, they're going to release the other half. Well, people that have, even in this first five, people that die in it aren't always dead. So that even tells you that, you know, there's a chance coming back. And if anybody looks on like IMDb, I mean, you can see that the guy that does He-Man's voice is in two more episodes than the girl, the Miss Sarah Michelle Gellar, who does Teela's voice. So he's in more episodes in this season than Teela is. So he's not gone. He's coming back.
It was funny to see on social media that I follow a lot of these takedown guys, and the guy may have even blocked me because I kind of made fun of him. First of all, nobody under the age of 30, maybe even older than that, is going out and actively seeking He-Man in an unironic sense. I don't think, unless your parents made you watch it, whatever. I don't know. I don't even know. I mean, I know a lot of people loved it, but it is a show that's for Gen X and older age millennials, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Smith isn't going to make something that's a piece of junk, because we know Kevin Smith. We like Kevin Smith. He's not going to completely fuck over his fans intentionally. And he's not making something to piss off fanboys because he's a fanboy. So I think with Dustin, you might be onto something, that maybe He-Man will come back or whatever. I don't really care, but I mean, maybe he'll come back. And this is one of those things where I pumped the brakes before I was like, oh yeah, oh, Kevin Smith, blah, 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 and everything's getting woke. Let him write the story and let the story unfold. That's the only thing I have to say about it. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to watch it. But it is, you know, it's culturally important. It's a big chunk of the 80s, and a lot of our listeners are in that demo. And don't be mad at Kevin Smith and give it a shot. Did you watch it, Jeff?
Yeah, I watched all five.
Yeah.
But if it hadn't been a little woke, the woke people would have been mad at him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he can't win.
Yeah. And he said it best when he said he started out, this is a fantasy story. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, built in wokeness to this. When there's no politics, people will find politics to put into it. And that's right. Exactly what they've done, as opposed to him writing it that way. People are reading it that way. And that's more of a reflection of where we are as a society, as opposed to where he is as a writer, in my opinion.
Well, maybe I'll check it out and see. But again, like I said,
it looks beautiful.
Yeah,
that does look good. I've seen it.
Amazing.
What, I watched the first episode, and I was a He-Man fan when I was a kid. I watched it all the time. I even watched stupid She-Ra, which sucked.
But yeah,
I
that was bad.
Because it was a spinoff or whatever.
Reboot?
They tried to do one, was it last year?
Yeah.
It wasn't any good.
But I watched the first episode. I thought it was pretty good.
Did they have the little flying thing? The little
Orko?
The dark face and the purple cloak?
Yeah, Orko.
Yeah, I didn't know his name. So
yeah.
I didn't. I only watched the first episode. The old man, he watched all of them. He really liked it.
Okay. So
he liked it a lot.
Whenever these things start generating the hate tweets and stuff like that, it's all just free advertising for it anyway. So, I mean, whatever.
I don't know. We had some people in the Radio Shack that had some very visceral reactions to it. David Harrison was very put out with the show. He did not like it. He was very aggravated. But He-Man has a very sincere fan base.
Yeah.
Tell Pickle to go on Rotten Tomatoes and leave a good review, because he's getting fucking review bombed on Rotten Tomatoes hardcore.
Yeah, that's the ironic
I will
part.
Tell him. I told him that we had listeners that were not feeling it, and he was like, "I don't get it. I mean, I thought it was great. I really liked it."
I have no dog in the fight, or whatever.
You watch it to support Kevin.
Well, yeah, whatever the expression is that won't piss Steph off, but you know, I wasn't a He-Man person. I saw the movie back when it came out.
We went and saw that awful movie. Yeah.
Oh, come on. I didn't never watch that.
Good. It was awful. We saw it in the theater when the weekend it came out.
Yeah. Which
is what we used to do. So,
but that was like the extent of my He-Man knowledge. And, you know, I'm a Kevin Smith fan, so I'll watch whatever he puts out for us. And I enjoyed it. The animation was amazing.
Hmm.
I watched all five of them
away. The voice acting was really good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, maybe I'll watch it just to see what's going on. Let's see. Let's do who died real quick. We lost a legendary comedian, Jackie Mason. Modern pop culture, mostly known for playing Krusty's dad. In The Simpsons, he was a rabbi, but he was a legendary comedian, goes way back to the 50s, a borscht belt guy, told the one-liners, the really good jokes. Gilbert does a great impersonation of him. I'm sure he'll talk about him on the show in a few weeks. The Dating Game Killer, I don't know who the fuck that is, Rodney Alcala, what's that all about?
The Dating Game Killer?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to watch that documentary. The podcast is great. It's like a 10-episode podcast. It's
okay.
Awesome.
The Dating Game Killer. All right, I'll check
that. Yeah, he was on the damn dating game. He won.
Really?
And he had already killed women at that point. Nobody knew. God. And and then he goes backstage, and the girl that he won the date with, she said he creeped her out totally, and she just refused to go on the date.
Okay.
Which is good for her, because she probably would have been killed.
Yeah, she would have been in a trunk and then in a swamp someplace.
Yeah, it's a really good podcast. Listen to the podcast. It's great.
I will. Dusty Hill. That's news that came out today. Dusty Hill, 72 years old, was the bass player for ZZ Top. And that makes the trio a duo, and that is sad. So that's pretty bad. They're still going to do their performance.
If you looked at the timestamp, that article came out 6 hours before he died.
Really?
So, yeah. But they had been
injured.
Last couple of weeks. He's been in the hospital from a hip damp. He had a hip accident where he broke his hip.
Oh.
He'd been out, and they had the guitar tech had been taking his place for live shows. Something? Say again.
Did he have an infection? Is that what killed him?
They haven't released it yet, but I'm sure it has something to do with it, or at least because they said he died in his sleep. That was the only thing that I saw that was any explanation of what happened.
Well, that's too bad. Rest in peace, man. Yeah. And finally, in Who Died, Ron Popeil. You know him. You've seen him in commercials. He did the rotisserie thing, the pocket fisherman, all that shit. 86 years old. Ron Popeil has a song about him by Weird Al called Mr. Popeil. Great song on in 3D.
Didn't he do the spray on hair?
Uh-huh. He did a hair in hand.
Pocket fisherman. I had one of those when I was a kid.
Yeah, they didn't work very well.
Nah.
What was that joke Dustin told in the
Oh, he was going to.
Or he pops up out of the coffin and says, but wait, there's more. if you watch television.
On a very special coffin flops.
Oh, he did the Mr. Microphone, too. If you watch TV in the 70s and 80s, especially cable, then you saw his ads all over the place, all the way to the 2000s. So rest in peace, Ron Popeil. All right, we're going to take another quick break. You'll hear from one of our awesome sponsors. And then we're going to come back and quickly do our staff picks, what we watched, and views or snooze. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, we have the hookup for you. The name of the company is LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia, not Athens, Greece. The one in Athens, Greece, they're not going to get it to you on time. But the one in Athens, Georgia has been in business since 2005. Steph knows the guy who runs it. He's a cool cat, and they have super fast turnaround and affordable prices. So if you understand what we're talking about and that is something that you're in the market for, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
And we're back!
All right, so we're going to quickly do what we watched and give our staff picks. I'll go first. I watched the first episode of White Lotus with Caitlin. And again, that was another good recommendation. I'm going to give Steph the props for that. We both enjoyed it. Let's see. A podcast I started listening to that just came into my Twitter feed, and I listened to it and enjoyed it. It's called Billy Joel A to Z. A couple of guys break down Billy Joel songs, by the title. It's good. If you like Billy Joel, you're going to enjoy it. In fact, the most recent one that I listened to was they broke down Don't Ask Me Why, and they play the demos and like they tell you the story behind the song. So it's cool for Billy Joel fans.
Have they done Moving Out yet? That's my favorite Billy Joel song.
Well, I don't know yet because I haven't gone in the back. I haven't gone to the back catalog. Just did that one, most recent one. This I watched with my wife. We watched all the episodes, and I have to talk about it quickly and ask Steph if she listened to the podcast, Dr. Death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Listen to that. Yeah, that's
Caitlin loved the podcast too. You liked it apparently.
Oh yeah, it was great.
You Steve have
Dunch, fucking freak.
You have a show with Alec Baldwin, Mr. Robot. I can't think of his name. It's getting late.
Christian Slater.
An entire cast. What's his name? Chris Jack or the Jackson kid from the Dawson's
Joshua
Crew.
Joshua Jackson.
A great fucking cast. Terrible direction and terrible production value. It looked like a Lifetime movie, and it's getting rave reviews on everywhere. But I enjoyed it for what it was, but they could have done so much more with it. And boy, now I want to listen to this podcast because this doctor is like a piece of shit. He fucking paralyzed his best friend.
The podcast is so much better. I'm positive.
Did you watch the show?
I haven't, but it looked like crap to me. So
it's crap, but it's sad because you have a great cast and it's an interesting story. And it's too bad that they entrusted somebody to direct it that didn't do a good job. You know, like I said, it has a great actors. How could you go wrong with Alec Baldwin and Mr. Robot? But anyway, now I want to listen to that podcast. What a piece of shit this dude is. What a horrible Dr. Death is his name. And my staff pick is a book that I got in the mail recently. It's called The Big Blue Turtle, The Meaning of Life and How to Survive Death by an author named Matthew Coleridge. And this is the book. You can see it on the YouTube page. There's a big blue turtle on it. It's from Fulton Books. And a little bit from the back is, why are we here? To learn. However, this is a difficult task as much of the truly useful information is often hidden. So there's a lot of esoteric stuff in here. And there's a lot of interesting stuff, UFOs, all that. It's a fun book. Give it a shot. I mean, you can find it on Amazon, and I'll send Dustin the link so you can find it. Again, it's called The Big Blue Turtle, The Meaning of Life and How to Survive Death by Matthew Coleridge. And I know the author, so we'll have him on the show eventually, or maybe I'll just talk to him.
I watched Ted Lasso, all of them. Totally caught up. Jeff was
right.
Good show. I'm in it. And it's like a nice little hug. I really do like it a lot. And the 99 crap, which we watch, the Woodstock, and the Teeny Bopper, I don't care. It's a good show. I fucking cried like a couple of times. I watched all of Never Have I Ever.
Okay.
This show about this little Indian girl. And I feel like such a doofus for being a million and loving the show, but I did so. And my staff pick is 60 songs that explain the 90s.
Cool.
And this is a ringer podcast, like your bro was talking about. So it's really well done, and it's hosted by Rob Hervilla, and he curates each one of these songs. And I have been loving the shit out of this. He goes in deep on, like, he goes all the way from like Temple of the Dog, Hunger Strike, to Notorious B.I.G.'s Juicy.
Hell yeah.
I mean, just all the big songs, and he tells you facts and things that you never would have known. So I really highly recommend it. It's very nostalgic, and it's very cool. But anyway, it's called...
The 90s haven't happened yet, though, because you live in 1984.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was last year. Now it's 1994.
At this point, I will just take anything pre-9/11. Well, after Jim Crow, before 9/11.
Yeah. So anywhere between 65 and 2000.
Well, I'm just going to say 73. When I was born, from like 73 to 99.
That's good. Those are good years. That's 6 years of shit to fuck around with that you enjoy.
Right.
I watched the new Ted Lasso. Season 2 just started on Apple TV. I watched the latest episode of Physical. There's only, one more left?
Only one more. That episode was really, really good, too.
And our buddy Jordan
Arcoma. And the next one has our guy in it.
Coming up in the next episode, so we're looking forward to that. I watched a couple episodes of the new season of the movies that made us. I watched the Jurassic Park one and the Back to the Future one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good.
Those are both really good.
Yeah, those are both good. Watched Alone, who we're going to talk to Rose coming up next week from season 8 of Alone.
This week, actually, she'll be out on this coming Wednesday.
Yeah, so I watched that. Awesome. And Tig Notaro Drawn. That was the one I wanted to talk about. It's like an animated stand-up special.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all sorts of different styles of animation and stuff. It's really well done and very, very funny. It's on HBO and HBO Max. You should check that out.
I definitely want to see that.
And my staff pick is going to be Bob Costas, Back on the Record, which starts on July 30th on HBO.
Interview show?
Yeah, it's a reboot of, remember, on the Record with Bob Costas? Yeah. It was like the best interview show of all time.
He was great.
Yeah, he's coming back.
Good.
And I hope he kind of does some of the stuff he used to do. Like, they used to just bring out a surprise guest in like the last 5 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
He had no prep at all. And he would just have to interview him.
Awesome.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Let's see. My Masters of the Universe watched as well as Evil. You guys up on?
I haven't watched the most recent one.
Yeah, no. I'm caught up on it.
It was good. It's crazy. I think I know where it's headed now, or at least it makes it kind of obvious at the beginning of the episode. And I think it's going to have a really nice, cool twist at the end of the season. And that's on Paramount Plus.
Go ahead.
I watched on Netflix, Sexy Beasts. Have you guys seen that yet?
I've seen a bunch of people on TikTok making fun of it.
Yeah, they for good reason.
Steph, you talked about it. You said it was terrible.
Yeah, it's a show on Netflix where they put two of people that are so hot and so cool that if you saw them, if they saw each other face to face, they wouldn't be able to understand each other because they're just so hot and so cool. So someone had the great idea of dressing these people up in movie quality special effects to make them look like animals.
Yeah.
So you've got, a flamingo going on a date with a bull in the middle of this restaurant, and it's so, so stupid. I mean, it like squashes down everything that's wrong with reality television and dating television and all of people. That. Yeah, this is just, it's ridiculous. I don't really recommend it other than if you want to just show somebody and engage the reaction off of it, because it's that much of a horror show. And then of course the Woodstock 99 I watched. My staff pick is going to be a book. Stephen King's new book comes out next week called Billy Summers. And it is a story about a hitman who, or an assassin sniper who is on the end of his career and wants to do one last job. And of course, everything goes to hell in the last job. And lately King's books have been, you know, more along that mystery detective kind of motif that he's been going off of. And I really like it. The stories are really well done. They usually all have a little bit, you know, some type of paranormal aspect to them. But even if they, you know, even if they didn't, the stories are, you know, well-written enough, they carry themselves. So I can't wait for it. It'll be out on August 3rd.
I pre-ordered the audiobook, but I didn't look who was reading it.
It'll probably be what's-his-face, right? From Will Patton?
I don't know.
I think it's the guy that read The Institute.
Yeah,
he did a good job.
All right. So, Jeff, views or... Thank you, guys. Dustin, Steph, and Jeff. Jeff, views or snooze? Let's do this one.
Yeah, real quick. Views or snooze? Just everybody gives whether you're going to views it or snooze it.
All right.
The first one's Jellystone. It's coming on HBO Max.
Views.
It's, some of the most beloved Hanna-Barbera characters, including Yogi Bear and Huckleberry Hound, returned to TV for the first time in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Voice cast includes Ron Funches, Thomas Lennon, Grace Helbig, Paul F. Tompkins.
I'll view that.
Yeah. I'll view it.
I'll view it.
News.
It's news. You gotta tell us why.
We're in a big Hanna-Barbera.
I mean,
original
I would care about. I don't even care who's voicing them. I don't like any of these reimaginations of old cartoons.
I'm with you on that, but I just want to see.
So it's, we got three views and one's news. All right. The second one is Jungle Cruise, coming out in theaters and on Disney Plus if you want to pay the extra money for it. That's the Mary Prop Rocks.
It's news.
News.
I won't pay money for it. I'll watch it. I'll views it when it's free to views.
Yeah, that's me too. I mean, as much as those movies are, or the idea of those movies are just ridiculous, they do put together a well-made movie most of the time. So I'll give it a view.
Cool.
And number three is something I saw a commercial for while I was watching White Lotus, or right before White Lotus, or after White Lotus. It's coming on HBO called Small Town News. It's a 6-part lighthearted documentary series about a small news station in Pahrump, Nevada. It looks pretty funny.
I'll give that a view.
I'm going to give it a view.
I'll give it a view. So they can get a Pahrump out of that guy.
All right. So thank you, Jeff. Views or snooze? Guys, let us know if you're going to views or snooze, or if there's anything you think we should talk about on our social media, which is @radio_labyrinth on Twitter. We have Radio Labyrinth Facebook, which is just Radio Labyrinth, or the Radio Shack, which you can get to from any of our pages or from that page as well. So let us know. Interact with us. If you'd like to become a member of Patreon, go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. You can sign up. And then if you come in at a producer level, you get a t-shirt and accolades and all that jazz. So before we wrap, Steph, tell us what is going on with the pup.
Well, Saturday, September 18th, I've talked about this before. We're doing the Race for Their Lives. This is a big fundraiser for us, and we need sponsors by businesses. I was so happy today when Emily Hine Warren, beautiful angel of ours, sent me a message and said, hey, we want to sponsor you, and wanted the information, so I sent it to her. There's, you know, three different levels, and in each level, we include more of your crap in the bag. You get a bigger logo on the t-shirt, all that kind of stuff, but there are a lot of people that come out to this. It is a good way to represent your business. And we, you know, I'll tell you something. A lot of our people that volunteer, not me, but a lot of them have money and they spend it.
Yeah,
they do. Not just on dogs. So this would be a good idea. If you have a business and you're trying to promote it in the Atlanta area, please, I'll set that up. And I've got a little form and all that jazz. And this Sunday, August 1st, Caffeine and Octane, come out. See me. I'll be there at the booth 7:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And if you've ever considered fostering, for the love of God, foster a fucking dog just once. Just do one. We just need your help right now, because we are at like an this is like a pandemic of dogs and cats dumped at the shelter. I mean, it's terrible. It really is. It's the worst. I mean, I've seen so many rescuers say they've never seen this shit before ever. It's horrible. So if you have a heart, if you have a home, we'll give you a crate. We'll give you everything you need. Just keep a dog for a few weeks. You could really save a life. No shit. And it will make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah,
make you feel good. This is us combating the mass. This is us taking the streets back. Watch a dog. BarkvilleDogRescue.org.
Woof. Thank you to our guest tonight, Jason Andrews, who is my brother. And also you get to see one of my nieces, one of his daughters, Abby, stepped in to say hello. Also, thank you to Jordan R. Coleman. We hope everybody enjoyed that interview. If you did, please like it, share it with your friends. Always like, subscribe, and do all that stuff that people ask you to do that we always forget to ask you to do. Please do it. And until next time, please remember to keep it canon. All right, now we're going to thank all of our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers right here live and then recorded. And then, you know, in a couple months, we'll do a new one. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon supporter, you can just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have lots of different levels, lots of different rewards. But the producers, you come in at $25 and up and you get yourself a T-shirt, and then you are an actual producer of the show. So you get credited every single week. And I want to start off with our general managers. Those are people who have been with us 4 years or longer. You guys feel free to jump in on that. We have Mr. Eric Malmstrom.
Oh, yes. He just won our big Barkville prize.
Oh, yeah. What did he win?
$3,000 in recliners.
Days to listen to Radio Labyrinth and also donate to Barkville. Keith Tate has been with us since October 2016, and so is Eric. Matt Carter has been with us since November of 2016. And Chad Shepard has been with us since October of 2017. That's pretty, pretty awesome. Thank you, guys. And Chad Shepard is the gentleman and scholar who had the Redbox troll made into a doll. And then he gave it to me. And I think, and I can't wait to scare my child one. okay. All right, by the way, these are silly radio things that I came up with. Program directors, if you've been 2 to 3 years, I don't know what I'm at the division. You got Sean Hall. He's a very awesome dude. He just made a big move. I'm not going to tell you where he moved to, but he just made a big move, and he's loving living in the suburbs, the country life. Mm. He's been with us since April of 2018. We also have Mike D, been with us since August of 2018. And John Sutherland, who is another awesome dude. Who had this really cool thing made for me. It's, I drew Demented Don and the Donalds. Donald Trump is every member of KISS. And he had it, you know, put on plexiglass, and it's really cool.
Aww.
And I'm also going to put that in Gil's room, in his crib, so you can look at it. He's been with us since December of 2018. DJ, Spit of the Hits, for up to 2 years or less. We have Mr. Tim Slayton, who's been around since November of 2019. Brian Smith, who we just saw recently as well out in Conyers, him and him.
Chelsea Dubois.
That's right, Chelsea Dubois. Thank you guys very much. Chris Chandler, who's been around since December of 2020. Todd Ellis, January of 2020. Roby Neely has been around since November of 2019. And you can catch Mr. Roby Neely. You can catch him on our show sometimes. He's on Mike TV. And our most recent, Marty Johnson, who came on board in May of 2021. So thank you very much, Marty Johnson. And I want to throw this out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Emily's been with us since May of 2018, and Buck Monterey been with us since December of 2017. Thank you all very much for being producers. Again, if you'd like to sign up, you don't have to be a producer. We have all sorts of levels and tiers. Go to
Patreon.com/Tim Andrews.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And now back to baby stuff.
Please hang up and try again.